Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The NFL regular season kicks off in 2 days. To dive into Bucks Cowboys and what we can look forward to in the NFL, Mike Jones of the USA Today will be joining us in just a matter of minutes, maybe even seconds. TJ, earlier we did Confessions of an NFL Player, and for those that may have missed it, after the show, just go to podcasts at foxsportsradio.com. Yeah, click on podcast and look at the Doug Gottlieb Show, and you can hear some of the confessions that TJ made. They were basically fueled by questions that we had about life in the NFL, and superstitions was one that popped up. I believe John Ramos asked you about superstitions, and you said you didn't think you had any until all of a sudden you felt like you had them. Skater nerd hip hop equals me tweets in, if players are superstitious, why did you wipe your feet with the Steelers' terrible towel in 2005? I don't know what that means, but do we have any background on the Steelers' terrible towel wiping feet? Was that superstitious or not, TJ?
No, I've said this publicly. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I bought the towel for $100 in the elevator on the way to the game from a Pittsburgh fan. And so, as you can see, I was actually jogging into the locker room about to head to the tunnel, and it just impromptu hit me. So I did it because I wanted to, whoever the guy that tweeted that in.
Yeah, it's Skater Nerd Hip Hop equals me. That's who it was.
Yeah, Skater Nerd. So yeah, it was just impromptu. It's a fun game. So yeah, I decided to do it.
That's actually my real name. Dan Byers, just my radio name. I just made it up. It's a lot easier. Just kidding, TJ. Mike Jones joins us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Who?
Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones, covering the National Football League again for USA Today. What's happening, Mike? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
How many times have you gotten that when you say, "I'm Mike Jones"? Do you get that often or no?
A million times. It's just a shame that I don't get any money from it because I'd be like off on an island somewhere.
Let's dive into this NFL season, and we have to start Thursday night. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defending Super Bowl champion. Everybody comes back from the starters from a year ago. What is going to be the toughest thing that you think Tampa is going to have to face this season in order to repeat?
You know, I'm really curious to see how they will handle the success and going from being the hunted, from being the hunters to the hunted. Last year, obviously, they had high expectations, but they I guess you could say exceeded them. Maybe they actually thought they could win a Super Bowl. But the way that their season started out, it definitely didn't look like that. Then they had a strong finish and a great run through the playoffs. Now, how do they do when everybody's looking at them saying, okay, they should repeat or they could repeat? Can they keep it all together? And then you also know that, look, Brady's a year older. Father Time's undefeated. When will he tap on that shoulder? We'll see. So I think just dealing with the expectations, remaining healthy, everybody being a year older, is that motivation the same? That'll be big questions they have to answer.
What team that nobody's talking about that you think can creep up on some people and surprise and battle for a wild card playoff spot?
For a wild card spot, I really think that I know it looked a little dicey for them early this offseason, but I feel like the Seattle Seahawks are going to make some noise this year. They always seem like they're kind of in the thick of things and then just are a little bit short. This year, Russell Wilson, they seem like they smooth things over. He's got a new offensive coordinator. There's supposedly a good working relationship there. I think the things that Shane Waldron are going to bring, it's the same kind of concepts that we've seen that are very quarterback-friendly from Kyle Shanahan's offense, from Sean McVay's offense, from Matt LaFleur's offense up in Green Bay. I think that this will do wonders for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Obviously, their skill position players are another year more experienced, guys like DK Metcalf. I think that this is a very competitive division that they're in, and everybody's talking about the 49ers and the Rams, but I think look out for the Seahawks because they very well could wind up making things interesting there.
Mike Jones, USA Today, NFL reporter and columnist, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb today. Just another one on the Seahawks, and specifically Russell Wilson. Seemingly, he got kind of what he wanted from what we heard in February. How much pressure is there now on him to live up to those expectations and maybe exceed those expectations as he got what he wanted?
Well, I feel like because they were so deficient in some of these areas and so much was on him, I feel like for him now, he feels like, oh, good. Now I've got the investment in the offensive line. I've got more help where I wanted. Now it's just a matter of how much input does he have in that offensive game plan like he wanted. But I feel like he's used to being under a lot of pressure. He's used to having to do everything. And now that they've made those upgrades and they also took care of Dwayne Brown today, I think that he's going to be able to play freely. This offense is very, very friendly for quarterbacks, like I said. And I think that he'll go out there and play well.
So I look across the league and you see all these rookie quarterbacks. And obviously right now, Trey Lance, Justin Fields look like they'll be the only rookies that were drafted in the first round, not starting opening day. I believe it's just a matter of time. So when you look at Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, who do you foresee having the better season and the better career?
I think as far as the better season, it will be Mac Jones. He's got a very good defensive backing. Now that the Patriots have guys back from the COVID, opt-out, and they've got more additions through free agency. Then they've also upgraded the offensive weapons there. They are a team that isn't far removed from the playoffs. The Jets have not had success in a long time. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a lot that they have to do. So I think that for this year, Mac Jones will have the most success out of them. Long term, we'll see. We've seen guys that come into the league highly touted, number one overall pick, and it's a bad situation that they come into. You hope that Urban Meyer can actually surround Trevor Lawrence with enough and give him enough support, but I don't know. But I also feel like that Zach Wilson is in a very good situation there with Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur. Obviously, they've got more work they have to do, but they've been adding young talent there. I think this Jets team was as bad as it was the last couple of years because of the coaching. Now they've had an upgrade in coaching. They've got a talented young quarterback. So this year, Mac Jones might have the better season, but I think that Zach Wilson has a higher ceiling.
Mike Jones joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, USA Today reporter and columnist. Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones. This T.J. Watt situation in Pittsburgh has not been cleared up. He's doesn't have his long-term deal. He's still under contract with his fifth year, but he hasn't been taking part in team activities. Do you think that this could have an impact if he on the Steelers' season, especially in week one without doing team reps? How will this affect Pittsburgh if he ends up not getting a long-term deal by Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I really thought that they were going to go ahead and get this thing taken care of, and now that this thing is here, we are in week one, and okay, today's Tuesday, Wednesday, you're out there and you're really laying that game plan down. You really want that guy out there. They need to get something done so it doesn't hang over them. Obviously, yes, he is still in the contract, but you just don't know what kind of, distraction or things just even in the back of your mind unconsciously that this could be. But I think also younger guys are probably watching, that they take care of the guy who is the NFL sack leader and, that they have homegrown talent here. Get him taken care of, and then they'll roll on from there. But we're still watching and waiting.
He's Mike Jones, NFL reporter for USA Today. Go ahead, TJ.
I look at it, and season's about to start. Super Bowl participants winner. Who you got?
Oh, my Super Bowl participants. Oh, okay.
And the winner.
I have the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I have the Chiefs getting the win.
Is it because of the offensive line, the retooling of that? Is it the maybe improved running game because of that offensive line? Why do you like Kansas City?
I feel like, yes. Okay, look, Patrick Mahomes ran for like 500-something yards behind the line of scrimmage in the Super Bowl trying to save himself. Now they went out there. They definitely donated resources to upgrading their offensive line. They've also spent a lot of time on bolstering this run game so they're more well-rounded, more balanced. And so I think that that will make them definitely more dangerous, especially when you get into that cold weather time of year where you need to have that physical smash-mouth football. And so, yes, that's why I think that they were so close last year and their offensive line fell apart on them. Now that they've gotten that taken care of, Patrick Mahomes only gets better as he goes. There's no reason why they can't win the Super Bowl this year.
Andy Reid said yesterday that Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams should be good to go for their Week 1 showdown against Cleveland. Before we let you go, Mike, I know you guys did a piece on up-and-coming players for the 2021 season in the NFL on USA Today. Who's a name that we need to watch as the regular season starts this week that nobody's talking about right now?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see because you see a lot of young guys. One guy that I think he's in a very good situation is Van Jefferson over there with the Rams. They obviously have veteran wide receivers around them. But having a big physical guy to help move the chains, from people I've talked to, they're very high on him. Josh up there in the Patriots, they have a young pass rusher that I think is going to really help them out. And then, you know, up there in Seattle, we're talking about them, Garrett Everett. That offense really needs a talented young tight end to work. And they've got a guy, he's been with the Rams. He knows the offense. He'll be a good help there for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of receivers in Seattle. They didn't keep a lot of guys. So the tight ends are definitely going to play a part. Mike Jones, NFL reporter and columnist for USA Today. Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones. Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, the Seattle thing is, it is, they really kind of have been under the radar, TJ, because of what Mike said. We talk so much about the Rams acquisition of Matthew Stafford and the Niners with their quarterback situation. But in February and March, all we were talking about was Russell Wilson and his future with the Seahawks. But now that he's going to be there, and, you know, Mike even mentioned Dwayne Brown getting into action today as they restructured his deal. When you have DK Metcalf, when you have Tyler Lockett, when you add Gerald Everett, I do expect Russ to cook. And if he doesn't cook, I think there's even more pressure on him just because of what Russell Wilson asked for in February and March.
I just think anytime it's the Seahawks, as long as Russell Wilson is the quarterback and Pete Carroll's the coach, they're always going to be pretty good. Even their quote-unquote not so good or down seasons, they're going to be competitive with everyone. They're going to give everyone a hell of a game. And so I don't believe the Seattle Seahawks are ever overlooked by anyone just because of quarterback and head coach.
They're not talked about a lot, though, because of that. Like, we talked more about them in February and March than we have in July or August. And that's the nature of it. I mean, because with Matthew Stafford, with the Rams, with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo having their battle just in that division, they're just doing what they're doing up in Seattle. I mean, the only thing we actually talked about in Seattle was, what about Jamal Adams' contract, which he ends up getting, and then now Dwayne Brown's situation. But yeah, to your point of they shouldn't be overlooked. They're just not a big topic of conversation. Even Green Bay, you know, with Aaron Rodgers' situation, we're talking more about that and talked more about the Saints. And now that Jameis Winston has taken over. So when you're talking about playoff teams in the NFC, we talk about a lot of teams, but Seattle doesn't come up too much. We'll see if they can make it back to the playoffs once again. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Today's show is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store and online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. What's in store for the Super Bowl champs? That's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug. Again, on a Tuesday. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report, limitations apply. Joining us now to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has covered the Bucs for a long time, now doing it for The Athletic, Greg Allman joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Let's dive into Thursday night. I'm actually more curious kind of how these last couple of months have been. Tampa doesn't always get the best reputation of having the best fan base because we always talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and what's going on with the Rays. But what has it been like in the community since the Bucs won the Super Bowl in February, now that the season is approaching? What has been the atmosphere like in the city when it comes to the Buccaneers?
No, it's been great. Obviously, the city's had a really good run here with, you know, 2 championships with the Lightning, Rays making the World Series last fall, and looking as good as they have so far, and then the Bucs. So, no, the city's kind of been spoiled rotten in the last 18 months. So you go back to boat parades and just the excitement of the off season. You know, they did everything last year without, you know, any kind of crowds to speak of. So for them to be, you know, 19, they're like 29th in the league in attendance, and now they're completely sold out, can't get a seat in the stadium. Secondary market for Cowboys tickets on Thursday is through the roof. So, no, the fans here have definitely kind of embraced it as much as the pandemic has allowed them to, and they're enjoying it.
When you look at the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden comes out, oh, I don't feel pressure. You know, Mark Davis will tell me whether I'm doing a good job or not. What do you see that they need to do to be competitive? The AFC is very top-heavy, just a lot of good teams in that conference. To justify, number one, the contract he has and the moves that they've made that some people look at and say, why are you continuing to make bad moves and draft players that aren't good players?
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely had, you know, you think about their coaches that are good coaches and not necessarily good personnel guys. And the Raiders have had some bad draft picks at the top of drafts, some questionable signings, trades. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, that division is going to be Kansas City's, but I think it's easy to see the Chargers ahead of them. And now you're battling, you know, a quarterbackless Broncos team for last place in the division. So, yeah, they're, you know, when you move into a new city, you're trying, obviously, they've done a good job to identify, you know, a city that needed and wanted a team, and they're doing great in terms of attendance, but to really latch on there, they've got to find a way to win. And I don't know if this is going to happen that season.
Greg Allman covering the Buccaneers for The Athletic, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Get him on Twitter at Greg Allman. He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Dan Byer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb today here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. So everybody's back, including basically this backfield. I know Gio Bernard is dinged up. Ronald Jones had a hot hand at some point, and then you know Lombardi, Lenny, you know, with Leonard Fournette. How does that break down in Tampa this year? Do we expect Ronald Jones to take another step? Does Fournette have more in the tank? Are we going to see a split like we saw last year? How does Bruce Arians handle that backfield in Tampa?
Yeah, I think it'll be very much a running back by committee. That's not what the fantasy football people want to hear by any means. But
you know me too well, Greg. There may have been a hidden line, a little self-serving for the question. But I'm sorry, go ahead. You know me too well.
Yeah, I think Gio should be fine. Gio Bernard sprained his ankle in the preseason finale, but has practiced and should be fine on Thursday. I think he'll be their third down back, their pass catching, pass protecting, hurry up back. They call it the nickel back in the offense here. As far as who the lead back is, though, it's very much going to be a shared role, be a split duty, until one of them really distances themselves from the other. I think Ronald Jones probably gets the first shot. It wouldn't surprise me if Leonard Fournette has the second series, if that's the case. And it's kind of like you probably do that for a half, and then if one of them has 70 yards and one of them has 25 yards, you go with the hot hand in the second half. But that was very much Ronald Jones in the regular season, but it was also very much Leonard Fournette in the postseason last year. So there's not an easy way to answer who's going to emerge from that. They're all three of those backs are all free agents, so they're all kind of auditioning for, you know, perhaps a bigger contract that the Bucs can't even afford after this season.
What concerns do you have, if any, with the Bucs this year? Bring all 22 starters back. everybody said, oh, they're going to go back-to-back or at least make it to the Super Bowl. What concerns do you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's so primarily avoiding injury. I mean, you know, Tom Brady's 44 and has done such a remarkable job. Hasn't missed a game due to injury since 2008, which is crazy. There are positions where they have limited depth. You know, they're going to be down Jordan Whitehead, who's a starter at safety on Thursday, but they've got pretty much a replacement level guy to fill in Mike Edwards, who steps in, and you don't really miss much there. There's other positions where they don't have that. Inside linebacker, if Lavonte David or Devin White isn't there, there's a drop-off there. Offensive tackle, if they were to lose Donovan Smith or Tristan Wirfs, there's a drop-off there. So even a really good, entrenched, everybody-back team is going to have potential holes where you're one injury away from having a vulnerability on the field. But that's about it. That's kind of what you point to. They don't necessarily know who their returner is yet, but they didn't really have much of one last year, and they won a Super Bowl. So those are the kind of holes you're picking in the roster right now.
Greg Aumann, covering the Buccaneers for The Athletic, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Last one for me, Greg, and I don't want to skip over the entire 2021 season, but is this the end? Is this going to be it for Bruce Arians? Is there a scenario where we think in 2022 he's back? Is this Todd Bowles' team? What about the future of this organization or this team after this upcoming campaign?
If they won out again, if they won it all, I think you see Bruce go up on top. I think he's already retired once. If he can have a nice 2-year run with Tom Brady where you win two rings and right off into the sunset, I totally would see that happening. But anything short of that, if Brady's back, I think Bruce would be back. I mean, he's within a year of being the oldest coach in the NFL, but I think he's in good health, which is obviously a big starting point for any discussion about whether you come back. And I think he's enjoying it. He's got a staff that he knows really well, can delegate and trust everybody on his staff. I mean, not only are we talking about the players being back, the only coach they lost was their assistant receivers coach, Antoine Randall L. So he very much has a staff that he can trust and delegate and kind of be a CEO head coach. And that helps. That makes it easier. And like you said, I think there's definitely a point where he knows he can turn things over to either Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich and kind of continue the same coaching philosophies with a new coach after he's gone.
Yeah, I didn't want to skip over this season that we've been so waiting for. It is here in 2 days, but it is curious to look at the Bucs' future. Greg Aumann for The Athletic, covering the Buccaneers. Find him on Twitter at Greg Aumann, AUMAN. Greg, we appreciate the time, and enjoy Thursday night and have fun the rest of the season.
All right, you guys take care. Thanks again.
He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Dan Beyer. I mean, to have everybody back, I mean, on a team that won a Super Bowl is darn near unheard of. And to see what the Buccaneers, I just wonder at one point, TJ, because now the season is 18 weeks long, you've won a title, if there is any monotony or just let's just get us to the playoffs sort of feel at any point with the Buccaneers. Because honestly, I think it would only be natural if they ended up feeling something like that.
It's human nature almost. But with Tom Brady as their quarterback, that's not going to happen. We kind of talked about this earlier. He has this mentality, man, where what happened yesterday was yesterday. It's forgotten. It's what you do today. And so it's easy for certain teams and certain players and where it kind of just boredom sets in, so to speak. But with Brady the QB, no chance.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
It is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. If you ever want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Dan Beyer on Fox or at Fox Sports Radio. John Gruden was asked if he feels any pressure entering his fourth season as the Raiders head coach, second in Las Vegas, and the first three seasons, TJ, it started off 4-12, then went 7-9. They went from last place to third place in the AFC West. Last year actually improved a game from the year before, but we're just 8-8, second place in the AFC West. And this is what John Gruden had to say in a Q&A with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I don't really feel pressure. Mark Davis is going to let me know if it's good enough or not, and I know what's good and what isn't. I'm 58 years old now. I'm not working any less than I did when I was 38, so I'm doing the best I can. I'm proud of the results we have gotten, but also realistic. I know what's at stake, but I'm not going to worry about it. Do you believe that John Gruden is feeling any pressure and worrying about it entering his fourth season?
Yeah, he feels the pressure. And why wouldn't you feel the pressure when you come in, your two best players are on the team? Okay, we could say two of your top three players if we're going to throw Derek Carr in there. And Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, you trade them. Okay, no big deal. You trade the guys, you accumulate a bunch of draft picks. And then a bunch of draft picks that you accumulate, you didn't get the pass rusher that you were looking to get to replace Khalil Mack. You actually tried to trade for Khalil Mack this offseason. It didn't work. You have yet to get the receiver to replace Amari Cooper. And so you have these draft picks, and they're not panning out outside of Josh Jacobs in the first round. And you start to wonder, what is Gruden doing in Las Vegas? And I'm sure the question has to be asked that you're supposed to be this offensive guru. We're doing well on offense, but we're not great. We're really bad on defense, but we're drafting guys high on defense that aren't producing. So that means they're evaluating and drafting the wrong guys defensively. And so with the amount of money and the contract that Gruden has received from the Raiders, you got to give them results. Ultimately, it's about results. Yeah, you've improved, but you haven't improved fast enough and you're not winning enough games.
I'll tell you why I don't think that he feels any pressure is because, hey, he's got a 10-year contract and he's basically using Mike Mayock as a shield because Mayock's the one that's getting some flack over those draft picks and
it's
maybe
not,
some of those decisions.
Dan,
but it's not him.
All Mayock. No, it's
I know,
not
that's
all Mayock.
It's Gruden. That's where it is. Like Gruden's sitting there in the catbird seat and saying, yeah, I don't, you know, when he's got 6 years left on his contract after this one. And he's the one that's pulling the strings. So he's basically got a scapegoat that can cover up because from everything that we've heard, he's the one that's really, Gruden is, pulling the trigger on the final decisions on who's on the roster or who's being drafted.
1,000. I know a guy that got released last week. And he said, Mayock came to him and said, everyone in this building wanted you on this team except one guy. Didn't say who he was. Just said one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that right there, that one guy is John Gruden. And it's not fair to Mike Mayock that he is front and center in this. And, you know, he has to stand on the front line and take all the criticism when Gruden should just man up and say, yeah. You know, Mayock's the general manager, but I'm making the decisions. We make them hand in hand, but ultimately I'm making the decisions. Put that out there. Because Mayock's not going to do that, and if that's the case, it's unfair to him.
Yeah, it is. Like he, of course, Gruden's not going to feel any pressure because there's no way that he's going to lose his job.
And even if he does, he has $100 million coming, so it's feet up.
I mean, like, are the Raiders and Mark Davis really going to do that? So just even the question being posed to him just isn't. Fair is not the right word because, of course, he's not gonna feel pressure. There's no urgency there. There's urgency with the players. I'm sure there's urgency with Derek Carr in performing. And you mentioned Josh Jacobs. They brought in Kenyon Drake this offseason as a guy to maybe spell Jacobs or to provide another dimension. And I don't know how great that's going to work out. But the other thing with Gruden – and why I think it's all just a bunch of BS and other people are taking the fall for him are because of what we knew John Gruden as this offensive guru, learning under, you know, Mike Holmgren and the West Coast offense and being this genius and then taking the Raiders and working with Rich Gannon at 4 a.m. in the morning and leading the Raiders to prominence the first time around and then going at the Buccaneers. And, you know, they had a great defense with Sapp and Brooks and a bunch of guys there. But you also, you know, Brad Johnson ended up being a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But the Raiders, like, you know, it's to your point of not having anybody to fill Amari Cooper, there's development responsibilities, right, in a coaching staff to get guys to develop, to get those picks to develop. You just can't always say, well, we drafted a guy and he didn't pan out. I think that the coach has to take some responsibility for developing players and the staff has to take some responsibility of that. Plus, you're also changing your, you know, entire offensive line and letting, you know, Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson go and you're turning that over. None of it makes any sense to me and all that stuff falls on the head coach's shoulders.
When you look at guys that are considered bus. Oh, this guy was drafted. And it's normally the guys drafted in the first two rounds, specifically the first round. So, oh, this guy didn't pan out. Oh, he wasn't good enough. Ah, oh, yeah, he just didn't get it. Physically, he wasn't very good. Oh, mentally, he just couldn't comprehend. When you see a team start to have a bust, then another bust, and then another bust, and it's the same coaching staff, do you ever look and say, maybe that coaching staff just isn't developing these kids from a mental perspective? Because physically, he was drafted there because he was just that good of a player from a physical perspective. He needs to develop from a mental perspective. That's called coaching.
Yep.
Never once do they blame the coaches for a kid not panning out that was expected to be a really good player. And that's from the shoulders up. That comes from coaching, development, and getting players better. A lot of coaches do it all the time. You don't really hear the buzzword. Like when Bill Belichick drafts a guy on defense, how they do? How they pan out?
Yeah, usually pretty well.
They normally do pretty damn well, right? Because Belichick knows defense. Let's go to the other side of the ball on offense. Not so well. And so it happens. It's the coaches aren't developing these kids. And I tell them all the time, the ones I deal with, you got to get better on your own in the offseason. Your coaches will teach you football, but you're not going to get better as an individual player for your position. One, they don't have the time. Two, a lot of coaches are coaching positions that they know nothing about. And they just watch other people, hear other people, then they coach you from there. But they can't really get you better because they just don't know it the way they need to know it.
I think that Mike Mayock is just in such an awful position because, I mean, I don't think Gruden has done anything to protect or help the general manager in this case. And I will say this, that I don't think that the general manager has any say in a team that can go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs, yet somehow you need a late Hail Mary on an all-out blitz by the Jets to beat, at the time, the worst team in the NFL. Like, that to me, when you're 8-8, like, that's coaching. Is like, you can take all the victory laps, and, you know, we laugh about the victory lap that they took around Kansas City after winning that. You could pat yourself on the back and say, hey, we beat Kansas City, the best team with the best record in the NFL. That's what we did. But there's no excuse that you needed to escape a game against the Jets and drop games against teams that you should have beat. There's nothing that a GM can do in that situation. That's all coaching. If you're going to take on the Chiefs win, you better take the L on those games that you should have won.
But look at that Chiefs game. They scored a lot of points.
Yeah.
They put up a ton of points against the Chiefs. You're not going to do that every Sunday in the National Football League. The teams are too good. They're going to prepare and they're okay, let's stop. Let's make them work their way down the field. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so the Raiders just have to be better. They had a ton of draft picks from Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, which we spoke of earlier. They all didn't hit, but the Raiders, they have a good quarterback. They have speed on the outside. We don't know what their offensive line is going to look like, as you spoke into earlier about getting rid of all their offensive linemen. They seem to have a good running game, but it will be always predicated off the guys up front. So if they can't create holes, then they're in a world of trouble. But Gruden should feel the pressure, but it's like you said earlier, 10-year contract, $100 million, he probably doesn't.
Absolutely not. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. Coming up next, it's an unexpected matchup in Las Vegas. We'll tell you about it here on Fox.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Dan Byer. He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. Of course, you can hear TJ every Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, right after Fox Big Noon Kickoff here on Fox Sports Radio, as you, LeVar Arrington, and Plaxico Burress team up, talk some college football, talk some NFL. Man, you're in a pretty good window, too, because the big Fox game's going on at that point, and then you have the whole NFL schedule to talk about. Not a bad place to be on a Sunday or a Saturday morning for those of us here on the West Coast.
I love the show, man. It's so fun. It's different, but me personally, we just got moved to a different time slot now. We're 9 to 11
Pacific
Standard Time, 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. But I love the show, and it's fun when you're in studio. You watch all the games up there. Really flies by, goes by really quickly.
Well, I've had a lot of fun today hanging out with you in place of Doug Gottlieb, but we couldn't do it, you know, just ourselves. John Ramos, our executive producer, Ryan Bershing, our executive producer, and of course Isaac Lowenkron at the news desk have helped out a lot. And speaking of Isaac, it's time to get the top headlines of the day in a segment we like to call
The Press.
All right, Isaac throws them out to us, and we can react. TJ, what do you got, Isaac?
Dan and TJ, Paul Pierce will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame this Saturday. Sports Illustrated did a big profile on him in which he addressed the events of this past April when he posted an IG live video of him partying with a bunch of dancers leading to his departure from ESPN. Pierce said of his exit from the network, and I quote, "I was done with them anyway. There's a lot of stuff over there that you can't say, and you have to talk about LeBron all the time. I didn't do anything illegal. These bleeps in the Hall of Fame, some did cocaine. What the bleep did I do? I was just having a good time. All the people coming after me, half you bleepers do the same bleep. You're just hiding it, and you all are married while you're doing it. I'm divorced. I'm retired. I'm having fun," unquote. Boy, I'll tell you what, if that's a preview of his Hall of Fame speech Saturday, I can't wait.
My goodness. They should roll him out in a wheelchair like they did in the 2008 finals.
Buyer for the win.
By the way, TJ, did you know that in that Paul Pierce video that actually John Ramos was holding the phone during that video?
That's why. I don't know what this is with Paul Pierce and LeBron. Like, golly, bruh. Like, come really? You talk about what's popular. When you were playing with Boston, guess what happens? They're talking about the Celtics a lot. That's just what happens when you're a good player on a good team. It happens.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. No offense, please, Minnesota Timberwolves. But nobody is tuning in to hear what's happening, you know, with Karl Anthony Towns and you know, maybe Anthony Edwards. Maybe, you know, could have used the Sacramento Kings. Could have used any. It's, you know, play the hits. You get, you know, happens a lot of places. I will say this about Paul Pierce, though. When you're the second all-time leading scorer of the Boston Celtics, like sometimes that doesn't go. It's going unnoticed, I think, more often than it should. And just to have that on your resume is can show that Paul Pierce is a Hall of Famer.
Guys, Notre Dame and BYU are going to square off in football in October of 2022 at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. This according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Indeed, what better place for a Catholic university to face a Mormon school than Sin City? No word yet if Notre Dame president Reverend John Jenkins plans to get his groove on at Town Nightclub in the days leading up to the contest.
That should be a good game. I mean, look at Las Vegas just getting all these games. And plus, BYU played Arizona there this past weekend, so the Cougs going to be making maybe an annual trip down there.
Word yet on when curfew is.
I don't know if Vegas is loaded with near beer, but it's not even going to help, you know, when the BYU fans come to town.
The Hangover Part 4, Notre Dame and BYU hit Las Vegas.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, Vegas is getting all these great games, you know, like the LSU and USC in 2024. It's truly, if you build it, they will come. And that's what's true about Allegiant Stadium. In Vegas.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
What was your favorite pro stadium to play in? We only got like 15 seconds, TJ, but we talked college earlier.
The ones I played in the most that was always rocking, the Steelers and the Ravens, always rocking. The Chiefs was nice too.
Yeah.
I like that.
It gets crazy at Arrowhead. It'll be crazy when they host the Browns on Sunday. TJ, it's been fun. We'll have to do it again soon. This has been the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.